We're holding in Yerushalmi Kilayim, page Yud Beis, Goldu Ois Chotei, because I'm told that that was rushed through a bit. So the bottom of page Yud Beis. The previous pieces of Gemara were talking about the greatness of Rebbe, and the last one included about how great Reb Chiya was, that even though Rebbe was offended one time at something that Reb Chiya did, the Yohan Novi actually appeared as him and showed showing that he's a great Baal Madrega. So now the Gemara goes on to talk about more about Rebbe and Reb Chiya. Rebbe have a masnish shvachi, did Reb Chiya ruba kamei Rebbe Shmuel b'Reb Yosi. So Rebbe was telling over the greatness, the shvachim of Reb Chiya Ruba. Ruba means the great, so be the equivalent of Rabba in the Bavli. So Reb Chiya the great, Kumei Rabbi Shmuel be Rabbi Yosi. He was telling this over to Rabbi Shmuel be Rabbi Yosi, who was one of Rebbe's chaverim. We find in a number of places in Shas that Rebbe had, as we're going to go on to say in our Gemara as well, Rebbe had tremendous derech eretz for Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Shmuel be Rabbi Yosi was one of his chaverim. Anyway, Chad Zman Chomi, Begoy Boni. So one time, Rabbi Shmuel saw Rabbi Chiya in the bathhouse. V'loy iskena min koymei, but he didn't show respect for him. Iskena literally means to be humbled. In other words, Rabbi Chiya should have stood up in respect for Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yosi, and he didn't. And Eitz Yosef points out. Now you have the Gemara mentions in various places that you have bathhouses in those days consisted of three types of rooms. You have the outer room where people are still dressed, and then you have the inner one where people are getting undressed, and you have the innermost one where everybody is undressed. So in those places, fine, that's not a covetous place. You don't have to stand up for somebody, but the outer rooms over there where everybody's still dressed, yeah, you should have derech eretz and stand up for a talmid chacham like you would any place else. So Reb Chiya did not. So Rabbi Shmuel says to Rebbe, "Ahanu da'at masni shvachi. Really, is this the one that you're saying so much greatness about him? He doesn't even stand up out of respect for a tam and chacham." Omalei ma'ovad. So Rebbe ma'ovad loch. So Rebbe asks him, "What did you do to you?" Omalei. So he tells him, "Chamsi begoy boni. I saw him in the bathhouse. V'lo iskanam and koymei, and he didn't stand up in respect." Omalei, so Rebbe asked Reb Chiya, Loma Avad Tekein, why Taka did you do that? Omar, so Reb Chiya says, Yeil Olai, may there come upon me, which is the Lashon of Shavur that we've had a few times already in the Yerushalmi, the In Sochis Lo Yadayt, I didn't even know if I bathed over there. I went into the bathhouse, but as he's going to say, he was so far tiffed and turda, he doesn't even know if he actually ended up bathing over there. Let alone that I should realize that Rabbi Shmuel was there and stand up for him. By he shaita, because Rabbi Chiya says at that time, Ashkoris Einai b'chol sefer tilim agoda, my eye, I was having my eyes, meaning his mind's eyes, thinking through all the agadas on sefer tilim. So he was so far tiffed in that he didn't realize what's going on. So the Gemara says, Mina he shaita masala beis tamidim. Ever since then, after Rebbe heard that, he gave Reb Chiya two tamidim to accompany him wherever he goes. The halchanima that they should always go with him. Begin sakanta, because otherwise there's a potential danger. In particular, Eitz Yosef says you have, for example, there's the danger of at nighttime you have mazikim who especially try to harass the tzuruvim and abanon, the talmid chachamim. As we learned in Bavli brachas, it can also be Hakosef points out can also be because of amei aretz, and also because he might fall into a pit or something. So in other words, he was so like this. He was not going to realize what he's doing. He may end up in various kinds of dangers, and therefore Rebbe appointed two talmidim to always be on top. Akosa points out the same way as we had before. For example, we had earlier in Brachas that Rosh Lakish was so far tiffed in Torah that he would walk outside the Tchum the same way. Rabbi Chiya was the same way. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi tsom tmanin yoimin lamechme Rabbi Chiya ruba. Rabbi Yosi, and this is Bepashtos, a later Rabbi Yosi. This is not Rabbi Yosi, the father of Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yosi, because he was from an earlier generation than Rabbi Chiya. This would be a later Rabbi Yosi, one of the Amoraim in the Yerushalmi. Anyway, he fasted 80 days, l'mechmei Reb Chiya Ruba, that he should have the schus to see Reb Chiya Ruba, that he should get to see him in Gan Eden. All of a soif choma, in the end he saw him, the rugs and yodiv, kohu enoi, his hands trembled and his eyes became dim because there was such a fire of Kedusha surrounding where Rav Chiya is in Gan Eden, that therefore even Rav Yossi wasn't able, even after the 80 fast, even after refining himself, he's not able to tolerate it. The Bavli in Bava Metzia mentioned something similar, that one of the Chachamim wanted to see Rav Chiya's carriage in Gan Eden going up and down, and he looks where he's not supposed to, and then things of fire come out and shoot into his eyes and blind him, and then the next day he has to go daven for Hashem to restore his eyesight, and even then afterwards there was a redness around his eyes from that. So similar idea. The ain't tamad to have Rav Yossi bar Nachas here. So you're going to think, okay, listen, Rav Yossi is not such a great person. Maybe he's a small person. So therefore, he's not worthy to see Rav Chiya. Maybe a greater tzaddik would have been able to. You should know, Chad Gaudi also kamed Rav Yechanan. You should know that it once happened that a certain weaver came to Rav Yechanan. Omalei. He says, Chomis Bechelma, I saw in a dream, Derakia Nafal, that the heavens were falling down, Bechadmin Tamidach Somachlei, and one of your Tamidim was holding it up. So what does this dream mean? Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan asked him, Bechakim Atlei, would you recognize which of my Tamidim this was? Amalei Ein, Ano Chomilei, Ano Chakimlei. He says, yes, if I see him, I'll recognize him. Over Kol Tamidoi Koime, so Rabbi Yochanan has all of his students walk in front of this weaver, V'chakim Rabbi Yossi, and he recognized Rabbi Yossi. So we see that Rabbi Yossi was an Adam Gadol, that you could have somebody dreaming about him, that he's holding up the entire heavens, and yet even he is not great enough to be seeing Rabbi Chiya, and he's horned by that. Hakosef points out what's the significance of the fact that the guy was a weaver. And he explains, because we have, based on different other places, that weavers are very low down, is a very low down, degraded kind of job. So therefore, the point is that, but nevertheless, even though he had such a degrading job, you have a Mishnah in Adius that mentions a halacha, that true gaudium, a basic halacha in Hilchos Mikvos, that Shammai and Hillel argued on, and the other Chachamim disagreed with them because true gaudium, two weavers came and said the halacha differently, and the Chachamim accepted what they said. So even though they were weavers, they still spent as much as possible time in the Beis Medrash, and the Chachamim accepted their opinion and set it up as the halacha for all time. So the same point over here. Maybe this guy also was one of these people who, even though he's working hard for a living, he still stayed in the Beis Medrash as much as possible, and therefore he deserves to see in a dream this how great Rabbi Yossi is. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, some mavan sonim. Rabbi Shimon Lakish fasted 200 fasts, or different gear say it says on the bottom, is tlasme et sonim, 300 fasts. Lomechme Rabbi Chiya Ruba, that he should get to see Rabbi Chiya HaGadol. And he still wasn't able to see him. All of a sudden, shot him at star. So eventually, Rav Shlokesh is feeling very bad about it. What did he learn? What did he learn more? He was Oisik and Torah more than me. And he was told, he spread Torah among the Jewish people more than you did. As you have the famous story in the Bavli and Bava Metzia, how he would go around from one town to another and teach the little cheder kids chumash and mishnayos. V'loy oid elad habit goli. And not only that, he was goyla. He was going from place to place. A heavy goyla l'makom Torah. Omaloin, so Rav Chiya says to the Malachim or to the based in Shamayla, whoever he's talking with, v'loy havena goli. So didn't I also? Wasn't I also goyla l'makom Torah? And they answered him, At have a goli milith. You went into Golos in order to learn Torah. So you went, yeah, you were Makayim, heavy goli l'makom Torah. You went from one place to another to learn by all the Chachamim. But we have a goli milfa. He went into Golos in order to teach others, as in that story where he's going around from one village to another and teaching all the Cheder kids Chumash and Mishnayos. So therefore, his chos is much greater than yours. Okay. Getting back now to the matter of the reason why all of this came into the Yerushalmi is because it was talking about that tachrichim can be made out of kilayim, so that led into a whole discussion about tachrichim of mesim and in turn about the passing of Rebbe and of other tzaddikim. So now getting back to that, Ksiv, the Pasuk says by Yaakov, he says to Yosef, on Sasani Mitzrayim Kvartani Bikurosim, you should carry me out of Mitzrayim and bury me in their burial place of Abraham and Yitzchak and Maris Machpelah. So the question is, Yaakov kol hen dehu ma'u menati. So what? Wherever Yaakov is buried, he's not. Why? What's he going to be losing out? Menaki, like Moshe menakeloi, like you subtract. Like what's going to be subtracted from him if he's buried wherever it is? Why does he have to be buried in Mitzrayim? Or Hakosef has another girsa. Kol hen to have a michas magmi. Wherever he's gonna lie, he'll lie there over there. What's the difference, one place over another? Why is he so insistent that he has to be brought to Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Lozo Amadvorim Begave, Rabbi Chanina Amadvorim Begave, Rabbi Shoban Levi Amadvorim Begave. All three of them, these Amadvorim say, there's a hidden matter involved. Begave with a vase, or Begoy with a vav, means like on the inside. So there's more here than meets the eye. So the Gemara is going to go on to explain because Tchias Amesim, you have Rashi on the Pasuk over there brings three reasons. One that the Gemara is going to focus on over here because of Gilgal Mechilas, and another one because of Machas Kinim, and another one so they don't make him an Avodah Zarah. But here the Gemara is going to focus on the first one about Tchias Amesim. But first, Reb Shimon Lakish Omar, Reb Shlakish points out, you have a Pasuk that says, as Halich Lifnash Shem Ba'artas Achayim. A pasuk says, David HaMelech says, I will walk before Hashem in the lands of the living. Now, what does the lands of the living mean? The pashtus is he's asking to live in Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisachayim, el tzur v'chaber yiseha, v'kesyun v'chaber yiseha, what are the Eretz Yisachayim? What are the places where it's possible to live comfortably and to be able to get plenty of food is places like tzur and kesyun, which were on the coast of Eretz Yisrael, taman zola, taman soba. There, food is cheap. And there's plenty, unlike in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which is not always on the Gashmiistic level, is not always Eretz Yisachayim, because sometimes you have a hard time making ends meet in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And yet David is not asking to live in Surah and Kesarin. He wants to live in the main parts of Eretz Yisrael. So why is he calling it Eretz Yisachayim? The Gemara, by the way, makes a similar point, that Bavli and Yoma makes a similar point, that Eretz Yisachayim refers to Mokum Shvokim. It refers to a place where there's marketplaces where you can easily buy food and other necessities. So here the Yerushalmi is giving examples of that. Anyway, so what does it mean? Sort of Shim and Lakish B'Shem Bar Kapara. The reason why Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Yisachayim, Eretz Shemei Seha Chayim Tchilo L'Moisa Mashiach, because the land where the people, the dead of it will come alive first in Yemoisa Mashiach. So therefore, that is why it's called Eretz Yisachayim. It may be hard to make a living over there, but on the other hand, Tchias Amesim, they'll be first in line. Well, my time, or what Pasuk expresses that, Nosim Neshama Lo Omaleo. The Pasuk says that Hashem gives a Neshama to the people on it. So what does that mean? Is there going to be Tchias HaMesim only in Eretz Yisrael? Of course not. There's going to be Tchias HaMesim in the rest of the world as well. But it means, afterward, the Pasuk continues, V'ruach L'hochim Ba, so then that refers to the rest of the world. So the question is, Ela Me'ata Rabbi Seinu Shabbat Golo Hifsidu. So what does that mean then? That the Chachamim, that all our Rebbeim who passed away in all the lands of Golos, they lose out. They're not going to have Tchias HaMesim. Hashem is going to make holes in the ground, or a different girsa, Eitz Yosef brings instead of machlid, which is maloshen cholder, like a weasel or a mole or whatever, that makes tunnels in the ground. Instead, he says the girsa can be machlil, maloshen cholol, Hashem makes hollows in the ground, whatever. Behemis gauglin kenoidus. So, and they roll through those tunnels, like wineskins. A noid is a leather bag that they use for holding wine or other liquids. So it's like a bull. You give it a kick and it then goes rolling. So the same way they'll roll through the tunnels. The kivin chain magiyin la Eretz Yisrael nafshen chozer salein. Then when their bodies come to Eretz Yisrael, then their neshama returns to them, and then they come alive in Eretz Yisrael. Well, my timer, what pasuk expresses that? Yechezkel says about Tchias HaMesim, Hinei ani poseach es kivrei seichem, I will open up your graves, v'halesi eschem v'kivrei seichem ami, I will bring you out of your graves, my people, v'hevesi eschem al admas Yisrael, I'll bring you to the land of Yisrael, v'achakach v'nasati b'chem ruchi b'chisim, and only then does he say, I will put my spirit, my breath into you, and you will live. So implying, in other words, that they have to first come to Eretz Yisrael. So that is why, that's the Dvorim Begev. That's one reason why Yaakov insisted on being buried in Eretz Yisrael, so he doesn't have to go through that. The Bavli mentions the same thing at the end of Ksuvos. Hakosev has a long explanation over here about the deeper significance about it, that of the fact that Tchias HaMesim begins first in Eretz Yisrael, because it means not just when a person is actually living in Eretz Yisrael, but also that a person feels that they're connected with Eretz Yisrael, al derech machto Eretz Yisrael, and therefore so he says that's one reason to include this in Ein Yaakov, and then this way also it makes a person feel better even if he never saw Eretz Yisrael in his lifetime. Nevertheless, he should realize that he still has a connection with Eretz Yisrael. There's a famous thing I think I've mentioned before around the time of World War I, anybody who didn't have citizenship of Eretz Yisrael, anybody who didn't have Turkish citizenship, was liable to be deported from the country. So there was a Yid, Astrobis Chaim Sonnenfeld, who had been born in Chutz Laaretz. Can he falsely claim on his papers that he was born in Eretz Yisrael to avoid that? And Rabbi Yosef Chaim told him yes, because Echad Anur Lagav, Echad Amitzapi L'Roisa, whether a Yid is born in Eretz Yisrael or whether he looks forward to there, either way, Ish V'Ish Yulad Bo, he's considered a born citizen of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you can validly write that on your papers, yes. The Gemara goes on. So we're saying, in other words, that the people in Eretz Yisrael are going to have Tchias HaMesim first. But Rabbi Berech Yishol Rabbi Chelboi, and in turn, Rab Chelboi Shaul Rab Imi, Rab Imi Shaul Rab Elazar, Rab Elazar Shaul Rab Chanina, the Ista Amin, and some say Rab Chanina Shaul Rab Yishor Ben Levi. Some say there's another one in the chain that Rab Chanina himself had to ask for Yishor Ben Levi. Anyway, the question was, you're telling me everybody in Eretz Yisrael is going to have Tchias HaMesim? I feel like when Yerovam and Nevot Machaberab, even Rishoyim like Yerovam and Nevot, they were buried in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to tell me that's enough of a source that now they're going to have Tchias HaMesim as well? So the answer is Omalei. So he answered. You have the pasuk that describes after the Churban and after the Golus, Gofris v'Melach Sreifa Kol Aritza. The pasuk describes that Eretz Yisrael was all sulfur and salt. The whole land was burnt, but he didn't elaborate what that answer means. So Omer Berechia Mahen Shal Lahen Behen Shal Lahen. So what exactly he asked them and what kind of answer did he receive from them? Lo shamin minoklum. On the face of it, the answer doesn't seem to have to do with the question. What exactly are we deriving from the answer? So the Gemara says, "My kedun." So what exactly is it? What exactly is it meant to teach us? And the answer is kivin shen misra for Eretz Yisrael nasa behen midas adim. What happened was when the soil of Eretz Yisrael was burnt, as described in these psukim, when it was all sulfur and salt, and became, as the pasuk goes on to say, like the way Sodom and Amorah were destroyed, then nasa behen midas adin. Now those rishoyim, such as Yerovam and Nevat, suffered through that. Their bodies, their bones that are in the ground, went through that, and therefore that was a kapara from them. So now they're able to have Tchias HaMesim because they went through that Gofres v'Melach. So that's the answer, that even those who show him, yes, they are eventually going to have Tchias HaMesim because of that Bizoy. And then Kosev and Etz Yosef both mention that what about Rishoyim who were buried there after the Gofres v'Melach, after that was over? And the answer is, okay, Hashem will so to speak shake them out of the earth, and they'll still have Tchias HaMesim as well. So how long did this last? Tony B'Shemer of Yehuda, Zion Shonim, Osas Eretz Yisrael, Misrepes. For 7 years, the soil of Eretz Yisrael was burnt with the sulfur and salt. Ahu Dichtiv, thus the Pasuk says, V'hig b'bris l'rabim shavua echad. The Pasuk says, he will strengthen the bris, the covenant, for the many, for 1 week, meaning one period of 7 years. And what we do is in the psukim over there where it talks about Gofres v'Melach and the Parshas Nitzavim, it says that was because they violated Bris Hashem Elokei Avosa. So therefore, we learn from that for violation of the Bris, they had Shavua Echad, they had 1 week of the punishment, 1 week meaning one Shemitah cycle of Gofres v'Melach. So the question is, Kusim Shabbat Maha Yerosin. So at that time, though, the Kusim already lived in Eretz Yisrael because they had been brought in by Sancheirev 130 odd years before the Churban. So if you have sometime during Golas Babel, you had the 7 years of Gofres v'Melach, what did the Kusim do? They still lived in the country. The answer is, Oisin Matlius for Hoisin Nisrefis. They were planting in patches here and there, and then it would get burnt. So in other words, one explanation is, in other words, it wasn't like the entire Eretz Yisrael was covered with sulfur and salt all at the same time. Different places, different times. So therefore, so they'd have the ability, they could plant in a certain area while it was still fertile, then eventually that place would be destroyed, and then they'd move on to another area, which by that time had recovered from the effects of the sulfur and salt and so forth. Eitz Yosef brings another explanation from the Aruch that they would plant their plots in Maklius, not only means small plots, really what it means is Maklonius in Halacha, as far as Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, for example, means pieces of cloth that are not even 3x3 etzbos. So they would plant like these little tiny plots that are not considered choshuv, and then eventually they would get burnt, but meanwhile they managed to make do. Like within the sulfur and salt itself, they could find tiny little areas like that, a couple of inches square, and plant there and have enough to live on. Continuing on the topic of the Ptira of Chachamim, Ula Nechusa, Ula who used to go down, so we find throughout Shas, we have Ula mentioned many times, he was one of the Chachamim who used to regularly travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. So he would be reporting in Bavel what they learned in Eretz Yisrael and vice versa. So therefore he's called Ula Nechusa. Anyway, Hava Idmich Tamon, he was going to sleep, meaning he was going to pass away, there, meaning in Bavel, Shori Bachi, started crying. Amri Le, so they asked him, Malach Bachi, what are you crying about? Anan Maskul Moch La'arib Yisrael, we will carry you up to Eretz Yisrael, so you'll still have the schus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. What are you so worried about? Omaloin, so he answers them, Umahanyanli, fine, but how does that benefit me? Anom Moivid Magulisi Goy Arim Asavusa. I am losing my precious pearl, meaning my neshama, in a land that's not Torah. You can't compare a person who gives away his neshama in the bosom of his mother, which is Eretz Yisrael, is the mother of the Jewish people, because of the kedusha, to somebody who gives it up in the bosom of a stranger, which is Chutz La'aretz. So in other words, in terms of my neshama going right away to its place of kedusha in Chutz La'aretz, it's going to have a much longer way to go than from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he was crying about that. That's something else. That's as far as Yuchsin, that the Yuchsin in Bavel are purer. But in terms of the Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael, of course, has Kedusha. In fact, in the Bavli and Ksubis, you have something similar, that Ula passed away there in Bavel, and one of the Chachamim, I think Rabbi Lazar, says on him that he quotes a Pasuk, Ala Doma Tmeya Tomus, what happened to you? You passed away, as the Pasuk says, on an unclean land. And they tell him, yeah, but they brought his order. And he says, yeah, fine, but it's still not the same thing when Eretz Yisrael accepts a person for burial after he passed away versus when he had the schus of living there. So yeah, same idea. The Gemara continues, Reb Meir have idmich le b'usya. Reb Meir was passing away in Usya, which is Asia, as in Asia Minor. Nowadays, it's Turkey. So he was there, and he was going to pass away. Omar, so he says, Imurin lebnei Arab Yisrael, please go tell the people of Eretz Yisrael, Ho Mashiach Achon Did Choin, here is your Mashiach. In other words, they should be aware. Reb Meir is the Mashiach of his generation. We know that every generation has its Mashiach. So yours is here in Usya. So please see to it that I'm brought to Eretz Yisrael for burial rather than leaving me over here. Afilu Kain, Omaloin, and yet he tells them, that's not enough. You have Arsiyah, Choif Yama, for the meanwhile, place my mita, my beer, my coffin on the sea coast, on the coast of the Mediterranean over there in Turkey. Dichtiv ki hu al yam yistadav al nahoris yichoneneha, as the pasuk says that Hashem founded it, meaning particularly Eretz Yisrael, on seas and set it up on rivers. So in other words, the same sea, the same Mediterranean. Or not even the Mediterranean, more generally, all the seas, all the oceans and seas in the world are connected. So like this, when you bury me temporarily on the coast of Turkey, on the coast of Asia Minor, then that's the closest I can get to Eretz Yisrael right now, because that same body of water also touches Eretz Yisrael. I once came across something also closer to our times, in the times of one of the Rebbeim, where one of the great Chassidim, and I can't remember now who it was, who wanted to be buried particularly, it might have been the Hillel Paracher, I don't remember, who wanted particularly to be buried in Kherson, because at one point Kherson was ruled over by Turkey, and at that time they ruled over Eretz Yisrael also, within the Russian Empire, it was the closest you could get to Eretz Yisrael. So here it's a similar idea. Anyway. So now the Gemara mentions, by the way, when we say Yamim and Nahoris, what we mean is that actually, yeah, Eretz Yisrael has a bunch of Yamim and Nahoris surrounding it. Shiva Yamim Sovvin Es Eretz Yisrael. There are seven but seven seas, meaning seven large bodies of water that surround Eretz Yisrael. Yamar Rabba, the big sea, which is the Mediterranean. Yamar Tveria, the one by Tveria, which is the Kinneret. Yamar Samchi, the Sea of Samchi. In later times, they call it the Chula. Most of it is dried up now. They turned it into agricultural land, but they have a little bit of it left as a nature preserve. Yamar Milcha, the Salt Sea, which is the Dead Sea. Yamar Chilsa, the Sea of Chilsa, which is it seems it means the one by Eilat. So it means it seems that Chilsa and Eilat seems to be the same thing. So it would be the Red Sea. Yamad Shilyasi, that would be north of Lake Chula, right by the border of what's now Israel, but what's now the border of Israel and Syria. Again, you have an even smaller lake over there that also is mostly dried up now, but back then it existed and it was called Yamad Shilyasi. And the last one is Yamad Aspamia. The last one is the sea by Aspamia. Now Aspamia usually means Spain, but in that case that would be the Mediterranean. It seems the printed Yerushalmi instead has the Girsa Apamia, which is a city in what's now Syria, and it had a lake by it. So that's also, and nowadays it's in Syria, but it's actually part of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So those are the seven. So we want to ask about Ika Yama de Chamin, or the printed Yerushalmi, has the Chametz. What about you have another body of water by the city of Chametz, or the city of that's nowadays called Homs in Syria. And the answer is that's not a natural body of water. Diclitianus Hikva Nahoris Vasoi. Diclitianus was a Roman emperor in the late 3rd century. The Yerushalmi and the Midrashim mention him here and there. Anyway, he gathered together, he dammed up rivers and created that lake, but it didn't exist before that. It's an artificial lake rather than a natural one. Okay, speaking of the Yam of the Tveria, speaking of the Kinneret, Steve, you have a pasuk regarding about the Be'er Shel Miriam, after it described the travels of the Be'er Shel Miriam with the Jewish people. It says, Hanishkafa al pnei ha-yishimon. It overlooks the face of the Yishimon. The Yishimon is the area, it's a desolate area near the Dead Sea, which is the last or next to last place where the Jewish people camped before they crossed the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael proper. But what does that mean? That it overlooks the Yishimon. So Amar Abchir Baba, if anybody goes up to the mountain over there in the Yishimon, the Pashtus meaning Har Nevoi or one of the other mountains in that area, if he looks over to the north, to Yam Tveria, to the Kinneret, and he sees over there something that looks like a sieve, something full of holes, Zuhi Berda Shel Miriam, then you should know that's the Be'er Shel Miriam. He's seeing that from a distance. It looks like that. It looks like a rock with a lot of holes in it that the water would come out of. Rabbi Yechanan Shaurunha Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yechanan said that the Chachamim also figured out, they estimated the direction that it's in. Vahohi Machavna Kol Kavel Tara Mitzia de Knishta Tikta de Srungin. They found that it's exactly opposite the middle gate of the old shul of Srungin, which is the name of a place in the Galil or the Golan Heights or whatever. If you walk out of the door of that shul and then walk directly in the direction of the Kinneret, then you'll come to Be'er Shel Miriam. By the way, it mentions in Svarim also that every Motzei Shabbos, the Be'er Shel Miriam travels around from one place to another, and you may have, it may be in your local water supply, therefore there's a minhag to drink water Motzei Shabbos, particularly the Gemara mentions elsewhere that hot water on Motzei Shabbos is a refuah, but even cold water, the point is, because you may end up that week you happen to have the Be'er Shel Miriam by you, and that's a refuah for many different kinds of illnesses. Getting back to this point again about being buried, about passing away or being buried in Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael, Ksiv, you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The pasuk describes how at one point we know that throughout his career as a Navi, Yirmiyah was constantly being harassed by people who didn't want him to say Nevuah. They were they got him arrested, they got him thrown into a pit, they tried to poison him, and then all kinds of different things. They tried to trump up false charges against him, all kinds of things. So at one point, there was this fellow Pashur, a prominent Kohen, who beat up Yirmiyah and threw him in jail. So now Yirmiyah says in Nevuah to him, "V'ata Pashur v'chol yoshve b'secha, you Pashur and all the people who live in your household, teilcho b'shevi, you're all going to go in captivity, u'bavel tova, you're going to come to Bavel, v'sham tomus v'sham tikaver, you will die there and you will be buried." So what's the point? Why is Yumi focusing on mentioning both the death and the burial? Why are both of those important? Rab Abba bar Zamina Amrab Chelboy Rab Chama bar Chanina. So there's an argument between one Rab Abba bar Zamina in the name of Rab Chelboy versus Rab Chama bar Chanina. They argue what the significance of that phrasing is. Chad Amam Mesham Nikvasham Yesh B'Yadishtayim. One of them says if a person dies there in Chutz Laaretz and he's buried over there, and he has both. In effect, it's as though he died twice. Mes shom b'nikbar kan. On the other hand, if he dies in Chutz Laaretz, but at least is buried in Eretz Yisrael, yesh b'yodei achas. Then he has one death. Eitz Yosef has a whole explanation over here that when the neshama goes away in the body, you also have that there's a little bit of life left in the bones, but eventually that really only comes down properly in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore it ends up going away. So therefore, like, he ends up dying twice. So that's one opinion. The Chorina Omar, the other one between these two Amoraim, says, Kvora Shabakan Chaperas Al Misa Shalhoim. When a person is buried here in Eretz Yisrael, that's Mechaper for the fact that he passed away in a different country. So even though it would have been better if he had passed away in Eretz Yisrael, but at least the fact that he's buried in Eretz Yisrael helps make up for that. So in other words, the point is that according to the first opinion, when he says Shom Tomus for Shom to cover, means that both of them, it's going to be like a double death. The other one is saying that no, Shom to cover, in other words, that had you been, at least if you, Pashkor, had the schus to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that would help make up for the Misa in Chutz Laaretz, but you're not going to have that. So Hakosev explains differently. He says that the vote is when a person is the best thing is, well, sort of the opposite, that if a person passes away and is buried in Eretz Yisrael, he has both advantages. And the other one said, no, the main thing is where a person is buried. As long as he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, even though he passed away outside it, he's still going to have the first Chias Emesim and not the Gilgul Mechilos and everything like we said before. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yoina b'shem Rabbi Chanina b'shem Rabbi Chama b'Chanina rigle debar nash aravte b'mikamte. The feet of a person are his aravim. They're the guarantors to set him up, to bring him to wherever he's supposed to be, kol hando humispa, wherever he's going to be demanded that he's going to pass away. In other words, Hashem arranges a person, Hashem decides that a person is going to pass away in a certain place, and Hashem arranges that the person's feet are going to be what lead him there. As you have the example, Ksiv, for example, you have the example with the war in Ramos Gilad that we talked about before, where Yehoshaphat was in great danger and was saved at the last second. So beforehand, when the Navi Michoihu was saying what he saw in Shemayim of how Hashem is judging Achav, he says, "Vayoyim mi yifata es Achav." Hashem is asking who will mislead Achav. The Yal v'yipel b'Ramos Gilad, that he should go up and he'll fall in battle in Ramos Gilad. So v'yomus b'sech beisa loytamon. Now it's not saying that he'll die in his house. In other words, if it weren't for this point, why does Hashem have to engineer that Achav should be misled by the false Nevi'im to go all the way to Ramos Gilad only to get killed there? Hashem could just as easily have him die at home. The point is, it was decided min Hashemayim that he's going to die in Ramos Gilad, and therefore Hashem is saying who's going to mislead him into thinking that he's going to win the war, that he should go there. And the Rashami goes on to give examples of that. The Bavli and Sukkah also gives an example, but in both places, it's involving two Sofrim of Shlomo HaMelech, where the Malach HaMavis wants to get them, and Shlomo sends them away to someplace else to lose for safety, and then they end up dying over there because that was Min HaShemayim, but that's where it was supposed to be. Finishing off on this topic of being buried in versus outside Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, Rebbe Bar Kiria and Rebbe Eliezer have a Matilin the Istrin. These two Amoraim were one time traveling, were one time walking in Istrin. The Pashtos is the name of a place. Ro Aronis, Shoya Boy, Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz, and they saw Aronis, they saw coffins of people who had passed away in Chutz La'aretz that were being brought into Eretz Yisrael. They found all over Eretz Yisrael. They found burial caves with inscriptions on them that show that there were Taka Jews from all over the place. They found, for example, there's one in the north of Eretz Yisrael in a city called Beis Sha'arim. Rebbe was buried over there, and therefore it became a very popular place. And they found over there inscriptions that Jews came all the way from Yemen to bring their mason over there to be buried. So Rebbe Bar Kiria criticizes them. He says to Rebbe Eliezer, "Mahayilu, what good are they doing by being brought to Eretz Yisrael when they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael?" What are these people helping themselves, thinking that it's going to benefit them by being buried in Eretz Yisrael? I would apply to them a posse. If Yumi criticizes the people of his time, he says, you came and you made my land tomb, and you made my inheritance of Eretz Yisrael a disgusting thing. So now he's saying the other way around, like this, you treated Eretz Yisrael as teva. You couldn't be bothered moving to Eretz Yisrael. You decided it's too much of a bother to live in it. And now and now you're coming and being matame in my land only when you die and being buried over here. It's not right. Omerle, but Rabbi Eliezer, really Rabbi Lazar, it's supposed to be. Rabbi Lazar tells him, no, Kivin Chain Magiyin La Eretz Yisrael, actually it's not so bad. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, Hey Neutlin Gush offer, then they take a chunk of dirt from Eretz Yisrael, Umanichan Alaroinim, and they place it on their Oren, Miskaprin, and that is a kapara for the fact that they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael in their lifetime. As the Pasuk says, his land will atone for his people. This is the source of the minhag that we have nowadays, that when possible, they take earth from Eretz Yisrael and sprinkle it on the Oren before burying it, is based on this Gemara. But that way, at least you have a shtickle of Eretz Yisrael, even if the person is being buried in Chutz Laaretz. So Masech Shvius, of course, talks about the dinim of Shemitah, and at one point it starts talking about the borders of Eretz Yisrael as far as Ola Mitzrayim and Ola Babel. You have the areas that they conquered when they first came out of Mitzrayim. You have a smaller area that they resettled when they came from Babel. So that leads into a discussion about how the Jewish people conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Shalosh Prastigios Shalach Yeshua LeEretz Yisrael Ad Shalei Konsul Aretz." Before the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua sent three letters, to the nations, to the kings over there. The first one said, "Mishu Roita Liponis Yipone." The first one was, "Anybody who wants to leave can leave, and you can leave safely, and we're not going to do anything to you." The second one said, "Lahashlim Yashlim." The second one said, whoever wants to make a peace treaty with us can do that. And you have to accept Shevin, but said, no, I have to servitude or whatever, but you can stay living here. And the third one was, Yas Lasis Melchama Yaseh, anybody who wants to fight against us, go ahead and fight. It's Yosef points out, I mean, why do you need three separate letters? So he says that maybe what it is not literally three letters, but there are three choices being given in there, and therefore it means that it's called three letters. So, Gilgoshi Pina Ve'en. Girgoshi Pina, so the Girgoshim left Eretz Yisrael, which is why in a number of places in Chumash, when it mentions the nations of Canaan, it leaves them out. The Hem in Loila Kodesh Bohu, they believed in Hashem, Baholach Loila Afriki, and they went off to Afriki, which Pashas means Africa, and Hashem helped them, in fact, that they found a very fertile land over there, equal in quality to Eretz Yisrael. As in fact, we find much later when Rav Shekei, in Sancheirib's name, is going and threatening the Jewish people and trying to urge them to make peace with him. And then when he takes them into Golos, he'll take them. He says, I'll take you to a land equal in quality to your own. Zu Afriki, he meant this land of Africa, of North Africa, where the Girgashim had ended up. So Sancheirib was threatening to take the Jewish people into Golos there as well. It's interesting, by the way, there's a Byzantine historian from about 1500 years ago. He had, in one of his history books, where he's describing a battle that took place there in North Africa, he describes that he saw a monument over there that said that something along the lines of, we came here because of the robber Yoshua bin Nun, who threw us out of our land, or something to that effect. So yeah, so they had a tradition by them of that Taka, this is why they left. Givonim Hishlimu, the Givonim made peace with the Jewish people. You have the whole story over there where they tricked them into thinking they were from a faraway place, and they made a covenant. And the pasuk in fact says, "Hishlimu Yoshua given as Israel that they made a treaty." Shloshim be'echad melachim, Osim Muhammad, the 31 kings all chose to fight, but Naflu, and they were all killed. So Eitz Yosef points out, by the way, and the truth is there is a good deal of discussion about this. that was when we're saying that he sent all these letters before they went into Eretz Yisrael, does that mean once they came into Eretz Yisrael, it's too late to take on the idea of making peace, or would they even be able to do that after that? In fact, there are Mefarshim who explain that that was the whole thing with the Givonim. Why do they have to do this whole trick? Why don't they just come straight out to Yeshua and said, you know what, we want to make a peace treaty? One reason is because Yeshua might have told them, tough luck, it's too late. You wanted to do that. You should have done that a couple of months ago when I sent the letters. So therefore, they figured they had to do it by deviousness. But there's other explanations as well. One of them being that they figured they could get out of being subservient to the Jewish people. They could still keep their independence, and it didn't work out for them. Anyway, one of the borders that it mentions over there in Shavuos about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, or part of the original borders of Eretz Yisrael, is called Amona or Amonum or whatever. It's a mountain in the north of Eretz Yisrael, and nowadays Lebanon or Syria or even Turkey. Some say it's actually fairly close to the area where that earthquake just was in Turkey. Anyway, Amr of Yusti Bar Shunim l'chiyagiu agolius l'turei Amona. When the Jews have gone into Golus, when they come back in Mashiach's times, and they come to Turei Amona, to this mountain range in the north of Eretz Yisrael, where now they're on the border of Eretz Yisrael, asidus hein asidus loy mashira. Then in the future they will be singing shira to Hashem to thank Hashem for taking them out of Golus and bringing them back to Eretz Yisrael. My time, or what Pasuk expresses that, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Toshuri Meirosh Amona. Now, the word Toshuri can mean to see, and it can, on the other hand, the Gemara here is Daushin against Meloshin Shira, singing, and Meirosh Amona, it can mean Meloshin Amuna, that they have Amuna in Hashem. Rashi explains it along those lines in the Pasuk, but here the Gemara is explaining the Turei Amona, it means when you come to the Mount Meirosh Amona, from the top of Amona, when you reach the top of that mountain, and you're now entering Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to be singing in gratitude to Hashem, who took you out of Golus. Should be Miyad Mamash. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, let's see. Well, they have here other Aleph and other Beis. I don't think like with Hayom Yom we'll do both of them. So I think we'll stick with one. So Beis, other Beis. We're right now, Mamish, before the Gola. Therefore, every year he has to get used to Gola and put himself into a state and into a feeling of Gola. And that means by turning his private day into a day of private Gola and making his personal place into Eretz Yisrael. And then by that, a person accomplishes by doing his avoda right now and in this place with the ultimate shlemus in machshava dibra maisa. Continuing on halachas of kedima in brachas. So we talked about shiva seminim versus not, whole versus cut, chaviv versus not, etc. If you have something in front of you, so also only if the fruit is ripe, only then does Shiva Saminim have an advantage, otherwise not. And also if you're not eating it in the normal way. If you have something that's ha'etz or ha'adama and something else that's shakol, you want to eat from both of them, then ha'etz or ha'adama comes first because they're more choshul, because they're more specific brachas. Shakol is very generic. Even if the one that's shakol is more chaviv, you still have to put ha'etz or ha'adama first. And one more halacha, mezonos comes before the bracha on wine, and hamotzi certainly comes before the bracha on wine. That is why, and that's one reason why on Shabbos and Yom Tov we have to cover the chalas, because otherwise, so to speak, the chalas are embarrassed that we're putting them second, where usually by alpi halacha, really they ought to have been first. And the same thing, Shabbos day, if you're making kiddush and eating mezonos, then the mezonos have to be covered during kiddush for the same reason. Kananim and Akasha and Matsar Kodesh Baruch Hu Zakeh Sizeral, Fichim Lam Jamitz,